Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, email, Google+, simple ways that you can share Issues Etc. programs with your friends, relatives, and fellow parishioners. Just go to Listen on Demand Archives at issuesetc.org and look for the share feature images posted beneath each audio segment. You're only one click away from telling someone about Issues Etc. The Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org and look for Share This.
At this moment, the greatest threats come from the Middle East and North Africa, where radical groups exploit grievances for their own gain. And one of those groups is ISIL, which calls itself the Islamic State. Now let's make two things clear. ISIL is not Islamic. No religion condones the killing of innocents, and the vast majority of ISIL's victims have been Muslim. And ISIL is certainly not a state. It was formerly Al-Qaeda's affiliate in Iraq, and has taken advantage of sectarian strife and serious civil war to gain territory on both sides of the Iraq-Syrian border.
That's President Obama speaking last night to the nation in a televised address wherein he laid out a four-point strategy, well, from the U.S.'s perspective, of what should be done with ISIS, or sometimes called ISIL. They call themselves the Islamic State, and the president says they are neither Islamic nor the state. What in the world could he mean, especially since they identify themselves as quintessentially Islamic, true Islam, and they're looking more and more like a state every day? Robert Spencer will join us here for the first few minutes of this hour of Issues Etc. live this Thursday afternoon as we talk about President Obama's comments about Islam and ISIS during his nationally televised address last night. Then Pam Fichter joins us. A big story here in the Midwest that's actually made it to the national news. The Missouri legislature has overridden Governor Jay Nixon's veto of an abortion waiting bill, and the waiting period is now 72 hours for an abortion in Missouri. Jay Nixon's none too happy about it, and neither are abortion rights advocates either. Pam Fichter of Missouri Right to Life will bring us her thoughts on that. Then we're going to round off this Thursday afternoon's conversation with Dr. John Vicker, Senior Assistant to the President of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. We're going to talk about a hymn translator. You've probably seen her name, especially if you've opened any version of a Lutheran hymnal in the last 50 years. Catherine Winkworth, she's a translator of hymns from German into English, over 400 of them, and she usually has dozens in any Lutheran hymnal. We'll find out what her contribution has been in the last half hour of Issues Etc. Our call-in number 1-877-623-6943. Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. Our Twitter address, @issuesetc. And for our beloved on-demand listeners, as you listen on demand, questions, comments, show suggestions on the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8382, 618-223-8382. Robert Spencer is a regular guest. He's director of Jihad Watch, author of several books on Islam, including his latest, Arab Winter Comes to America, The Truth About the War We're In. And he joins us to talk about President Obama's address last night on ISIS, the Islamic State. Robert, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thanks. Always glad to be here, Todd.
Robert, what's your general reaction to the president's address there, and in particular those early statements that he made that ISIS, the Islamic State, is neither Islamic nor a state?
Well, it's obviously a state. They're governing. They've issued currency. They've issued passports. What about it is not a state? They have a military. They are getting in revenues of $1 million a day from oil fields that they've occupied. They are not able to be conquered and overcome by the surrounding areas that what one would think, you know, if they were not a state but just some sort of terrorist gang that had seized some territory, that the surrounding armies could take care of them pretty quickly. But nobody seems to be able to do that. So I don't see it in what sense they're not a state, except that they reject international norms and international laws. But that's going to become increasingly common in the future anyway. And also, are they Islamic? This is where the crowning ridiculousness of Obama's statement really comes to the fore. This is a group that calls itself the Islamic State. They have consciously made all their laws based on Islamic Sharia. They do everything in the basis of Islam and in the name of Islam. And Barack Obama has now put himself in this very peculiar position because he's got to answer the question, although, of course, nobody in the mainstream media will ask him. How does this massive misunderstanding of Islam come about, that this group is able to attract an unprecedented number of Muslims from the United States and elsewhere in the West to travel to the Islamic State and join their jihad? And they have thousands of adherents there and supporters all over the world. Where have they all come from? Why do they all misunderstand Islam so drastically? Why don't they get it when Barack Obama gets it? And how did this huge misconception of Islam gain so much traction?
His rationale for saying that ISIS is not Islamic, and I agree with you, contrary to every shred of evidence that there is staring us in the face about this, is that no religion promotes the taking of innocent life. What do you make of his reasoning there?
Well, you know, Todd, it reminds me of Bill Clinton, and it all depends on what the meaning of is. In this case, it all depends on what the meaning of innocent is. And there are many Muslim clerics who will tell you that no non-Muslim is possibly innocent because they are all rebels against the true God and his true revelation and his true prophet, Muhammad. And there are other Muslims who will say that unbelief is an act of aggression in itself, that Muslims have the responsibility to defend themselves against. And so the problem with that kind of reasoning is that it allows for a lot of attacks against innocents. And in Islamic tradition, even though there are prohibitions where Muhammad says don't kill the women and children, there was another time in another well-attested tradition about Muhammad where they come up to him and they say, you know, we're bombarding this pagan fort and the women and children are in there and they're getting killed along with the pagans. And he said, oh, it's okay, they are from them. And so he was allowing for the killing of the innocents. These are things the people in the Islamic State know. They do not consider the people they are killing to be innocent. They would agree with Obama that Islam forbids the killing of the innocent. They would not agree that they are transgressing against that the prohibition.
Now, does the president also fail to understand that we cannot understand Islam in purely religious terms, that it is something more, something other than a religion?
It's a mystery as to how much President Obama knows about Islam. He, of course, was raised a Muslim. He was registered as a Muslim in school in Indonesia. He talks about, in one of his autobiographies, making faces in Quran class, and only the Muslim kids went to Quran class. So he learned something about Islam at that time. How much of it he knows and retains, I don't know. But if he learned standard mainstream Islam, then he did learn that Islam is not just a religion but a state and is the legitimate governance of the Muslims, that is, there should be no separation of religion and state in the legitimate governance of the Muslims. He probably knows that. He should know this. And for him to say that it's illegitimate to connect religion and the state in this way betrays either an ignorance of Islamic theology and history or a willful a decision to conceal it. I really don't know which is the case with him, because he's in a position to know.
He's not alone, of course. Previous presidents, and I'm thinking about George W. Bush, was often heard to say that Islam is a religion of peace, or Islam is peace. It seems to be kind of a chronic problem in American statecraft to misunderstand this.
Absolutely, Todd. It's a bipartisan problem. It's a universal problem, really. You have officials in Great Britain and in Western Europe, everywhere in the free world, Australia. Whenever there's a jihad terror plot or a jihad terror attack, they rush to say this has nothing to do with Islam. It was really absurd. A couple days ago, there was an arrest in an Islamic bookstore in Australia. And the Islamic bookstore was raided, and two men there were arrested for plotting jihad terror attacks. And the first thing that the police commissioner said was, this has nothing to do with Islam. This was two Australians plotting terrorism. Now, the thing is that this kind of willful ignorance is going to impede his ability to act as a police officer in the future, because these two guys didn't think of themselves as Australians. They thought of themselves as members of the international Islamic community, and they thought of themselves as Muslims first and foremost, to the extent expense of their Australian citizenship and identity. And for him to willfully be blind to that and willfully conceal it and say that the raid of an Islamic bookstore has nothing to do with Islam, ultimately, that is going to be at war with his ability to track criminal activity, because he's going to say, well, we know these are peaceful. We know this religion is peaceful. We cannot investigate this kind of thing. And then he'll be blindsided.
So what do we gain if the president and those around him, especially those who are tasked with understanding both terrorism and Islam in the world, what do we gain if they do learn that Islam is not essentially a world of a religion of peace? Although it has peaceful adherents, it is not itself a philosophy, a worldview, or a religion that promotes peaceful activity.
Well, I think what we gain is a much clearer understanding of what we're up against. And we can challenge then peaceful Muslims and Muslim communities in general to institute programs to teach against this understanding of Islam. I think it's a scandal that 13 years after 9/11, there is not a single program in any mosque in the United States or any Islamic school in the United States to teach Muslims why it is wrong to hold to the view of Islam that Osama bin Laden held, that al-Awlaki held, and that the Islamic State holds today. They say they reject it. They issue condemnations, but they're doing nothing to stop the recruitment of young Muslims in the United States by Islamic State recruiters and by other jihad terrorist groups. And so we would be able to confront that realistically and say, look, we know these are part of the teachings of Islam traditionally. We know this is in the Quran. What are you doing to stop it? We would be able to make Americans aware of what we're up against, of the nature and magnitude of the threat. Right now, most Americans are completely enveloped by ignorance and complacency when it comes to the Islamic terror threat, and the president and other public officials are doing their best to keep them ignorant and complacent by repeating this nonsense every time there's an attack about how this has nothing to do with Islam.
So I want your thoughts on the president laid out his strategy, a four-point strategy of how to deal with what he would call this terrorist threat, not a state and certainly not something akin to Islam, in spite of ISIS's own assertions and actions to the contrary. What do you make of the strategy there, and what do you think the future of movement/states like ISIS are in the Muslim world?
Well, obviously the Islamic State, ISIS, has captured the imagination of many Muslims, and this is why there are so many Muslims in the West going there. We didn't see that with al-Qaeda. We saw a few here and there, now and again, an American Muslim joining al-Qaeda, and it was always big news. And now there are hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds from France, from Britain, from Germany, from elsewhere. Obviously, the idea of the caliphate, of the Islamic State, is something that resonates very deeply with these Muslims because it is part of Islam, and it is part of Islamic tradition, and it has not been around for 90 years, and it has been the desire of all the jihad groups to restore it. And so to not address the ideological roots of the problem is simply to invite more of the problem. Meanwhile, he's talking about building some coalition. The only coalition partner he mentioned was the Saudis, which was kind of bitterly ironic, because the Saudis created the Islamic State, essentially, by spreading the ideology, the beliefs all around the world. And they are now reaping what they sowed, and they're gonna. They don't want to be overwhelmed by a caliphate, but they have to do. If they do not fight it, then they're going to be toppled and become part of it. And so they may well join, but I wonder who else is going to join. I think the main problem with his strategy is that he's just not going to get people signing on.
Finally, then. Look, as you said, this is a bipartisan misconception, and it's one that's deeply ingrained in the political speak of Washington, D.C., that Islam is not to blame for these things and really has no connection to the actions of groups like the Muslim Brotherhood, or which seem just as tame and like kittens compared to ISIS in a lot of ways. Do we need a remedial course for all of our politicians, not just our presidents,
oh, yeah,
but all of our politicians on Islam?
Absolutely, Todd. Yes, we certainly do. They are full of false conceptions that have led to drastic errors of policy, and we're continuing to make them. I mean, look, remember, Obama's all hot to fight the Islamic State now, but he was arming the Syrian rebels against Assad last year, who are essentially the allies, friends, colleagues, and collaborators of the Islamic State. So he's suddenly switched sides, which indicates that he really doesn't have a clue as to what he's doing.
Robert Spencer is director of Jihad Watch, and he's author of several books on Islam, including his latest, Arab Winter Comes to America, The Truth About the War We're In. You'll find a link to Jihad Watch and to the book, Arab Winter Comes to America, at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Robert, thank you for your time.
A pleasure, Todd. Thank you.
When we come back on this Thursday afternoon, September the 11th, Pam Fichter of Missouri Right to Life will join us with some good news. The overriding of Governor Jay Nixon's veto in Missouri on an abortion waiting period bill. We'll be right back.
Whether building a new home, remodeling an existing home, or tackling the weekend project, it is important to have the materials and advice needed to get the job done. RP Lumber offers estimates for professional building materials and services for drywall, decking, siding, shingles, cabinets, and kitchen and bath design to the general contractor and the individual homeowner. Delivery available with over 50 local community locations. For 37 years, RP Lumber.
Do you wish your Lutheran school offered Latin, Greek, or logic? What about German or calculus? Right now, local Lutheran schools in two different states are utilizing Wittenberg Academy to expand their course offerings. Whether it's Latin for third graders or logic for seniors in high school, Wittenberg Academy can help. For your homeschooler or for your brick-and-mortar Lutheran school, we have solutions. To find out more, visit WittenbergAcademy.org.
Listen to what you want, when you want. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Hey, St. Louis. How would you like to achieve your fitness goals in a fun and supportive atmosphere? Hi, this is Kevin Reisick, owner and operator of Arch Fitness of East Alton, Illinois. We offer adult boot camps throughout the week. These camps include cardiovascular conditioning, muscular strength and endurance training, balance and coordination activities, and more. For more information, give me a call at 618-670-6952, Arch Fitness of East Alton, Illinois, 618-670-6952.
Do you have a hard time finding Christian greeting cards and gifts that aren't either sappy or theologically suspect? Ad Crucem offers the perfect combination of art and the truth of the Scriptures with beautiful and reverent greeting cards and gifts. Deliver the true comfort of the gospel, Christ crucified for sinners, to family and friends with Ad Crucem. ADCRUCEM.com. Confessing the faith through art and word. ADCRUCEM.com.